I didn't think it was fair to put it on the rest of these, spur of the moment, right? So we're good to go? Okay. All right, y'all have your microphones on then? Okay. So Kaylee, I'm going to start with you. What does God tell us from Scripture regarding the importance of His Word?
Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Thank you. Morgan, what does God tell you from Scripture regarding the importance of His Word?
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but man spoke to God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Right. Thank you. Hunter, go ahead.
Psalms 119, 89, and 105. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path.
Right. Mason?
John 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Thank you. Megan?
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be equipped for all good works.
Right. Thank you. Jaden?
John 1:14. God made His dwelling among us, and
the Word became flesh.
Oh, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We
have seen
the glory, of the God from who came from the one Father, the Son, full of grace and truth.
Right. Thank you. Very good. It's all right. Good. Okay, and all of you together, some questions here. So the Bible is divided into how many parts?
The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right. And how many books are in the Old Testament?
39 books.
How many books are in the New Testament?
27 books.
Hunter and Kaylee, what is the name of your local church?
Salem Reformed Church.
And the other four, what's the name of your local church?
Freedom Reformed Church.
Right. And Kaylee and Hunter, who was the founding pastor of this local church?
Jacob Orth in 1882.
Right. And the other four, who was the founding pastor of your local church?
Jacob Orth in 1875.
Right. He founded many churches in this area. It's quite amazing back in those years. Okay, together, who is the head of the one holy Christian church that we speak of in the Apostles' Creed?
Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right. And what are the six seasons of the church year?
Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost.
Right. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go into the Heidelberg Catechism. So together in unison, the first question, you give me the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation.
Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him.
Good, thank you. That's such a wonderful answer. It is my very favorite of all of them. So going on, Kaylee, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort?
Three things: how great my sin and misery are, how I'm set free from all my sins and misery, how I am to thank God for such deliverance.
Right. And Morgan, how do you come to know your misery?
The law God tells me.
Right. Hunter, can you live up to all of this, the law, perfectly?
No, I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor.
Right. Mason, did God create people so wicked and perverse?
No, God created them good and in his own image, that is the true righteousness and holiness, so that they may truly know God the Creator, love him with all their heart, and live in eternal happiness for his praise and glory.
Yes. Megan, then where does this corrupt human nature come from?
From the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. This fall has so poisoned our nature that we were born sinners, corrupt from conception on.
Right. Jaden, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil?
Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God.
Right. Kaylee, but doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what we are unable to do?
No. God created humans with the ability to keep the law. They, however, tempted by the devil in reckless disobedience, robbed themselves and all their descendants of these gifts.
Yes. Morgan, will God permit such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished?
Certainly not. He is terribly angry about the sin we're born with, as well as the sins we personally commit. As a just judge, he punishes some now and in eternity. He has declared curses everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.
Right. Hunter, according to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor?
God requires that his justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of his justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or another.
Right. Mason, can we pay this debt ourselves?
Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day.
Yeah. Megan, can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us?
No. To begin with, God would not punish another creature for what human is guilty of. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it.
Thank you. Jaden, what kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then?
One that is truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is one that is also true God.
Right. Kaylee, why must this mediator be truly human and truly righteous?
God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin, but a sinner can never pay for others.
Thank you. Morgan, why must this mediator also be true God?
So that by the power of his divinity, he may bear the weight of God's anger in his humanity, earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life.
Right. One question I'm going to read here, the next one. And who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time truly human and truly righteous? The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given to us to set us completely free, and to make us right with God. So, Hunter, how do you come to know this?
The gospel tells me that God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets, and portrayed it by sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own dear son.
Good. Mason, are all saved through Christ, just as all were lost through Adam?
No, only those are saved who by true faith are grafted into Christ and accepted all his blessings.
Right. Megan, what is true faith?
True faith is not only the knowledge and conviction that everything God reveals through his word is true, it is also a deeper assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that not only I, but others too, have had my sins forgiven, have been made forever right with God, and have been granted salvation.
Good, thank you. Jaden, what then must a Christian believe?
Everything God tells us in the Bible. The gospel is summarized for us in the articles of our Christian faith, a creed beyond doubt and professed throughout the world.
Yes, thank you. And so for Kaylee and Hunter, there's some different words in how we say the Apostles' Creed versus Frieden's, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So I'm just having Haley and Hunter say this today here, okay? So what are these articles?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you. Kaylee, back to you. How are these articles divided?
Into three parts: God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our deliverance, God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification.
Right. Morgan, since there is but one God, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Because that is how he has revealed himself in his word as these three distinct persons, one true eternal God.
Right. Hunter, why is Jesus called Christ, meaning anointed?
Because he has been ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, perfectly reveals to us the will of God, the will of God for our deliverance, our only high priest who has set us free by the one sacrifice of the body and continually pleads our cause with the Father, our eternal King who governs us by his word and spirit, who guards us and keeps us, and guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us.
Right, thank you. Mason, why are you called a Christian?
Because by faith I'm a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointment. I'm anointed to confess his name, to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life and afterwards, to reign over all creation for all eternity.
Right. Megan, why is he called God's only Son when we also are God's children?
Because Christ alone is the only natural eternal Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted out of grace through Christ.
Yeah. Jaden, why do you call him our Lord?
Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and the tyranny of the devil. He has bought us to be his very own.
Right. Kaylee, why did Christ have to go all the way to death?
God's justice and truth demands it. Only the death of God's Son could pay for our sin.
Right. Morgan, why was he buried?
His burial testified that he really died.
Thank you. Hunter, what further advantage do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross?
Through Christ's death, our old selves are crucified, put to death, and buried with him, so that the evil desires of flesh may no longer rule us, but we may dedicate ourselves as an offering of gratitude to him.
Right. Mason, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us?
First, by Christ's resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make a share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. Second, we too are already resurrected to a new life. Third, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection.
Good, thank you. Megan, what do you mean by saying he ascended to heaven?
That Christ, while his disciples watched, was lifted from earth to heaven and will be there for our good until he comes again to judge the living and the dead.
Good. Jaden, but isn't Christ with us until the end of the world as he promised us?
Christ is truly human and truly God. In his human nature, he is not now with us, but in his divinity, majesty, and grace, he is not absent from us for a moment.
Thank you. Kaylee, why the next words, and is seated at the right hand of God?
Christ ascended to heaven there to show that he was the head of his church, and that the Father rules all things through him.
Right. Morgan, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit?
First, he as well as the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, he has been given to me personally, so that by true faith he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings. Comforts me and remains with me forever.
Thank you. Hunter, what do you understand by the communion of saints?
First, that believers one and all, as members of this community, share in Christ and all his treasures and gifts. Second, each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members.
Thank you. Mason, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins?
I believe that God, because of Christ's anointment, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, God grants me the righteousness to free me forever from judgment.
Thank you. Megan, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you?
That not only my soul will be taken immediately after this life to Christ its head, but even my very flesh shall be risen by the power of God and reunited with my soul and made like Christ's glorious body.
Right. Jaden, how does this article concerning life everlasting comfort you?
Even as I already now begin to experience in my heart eternal joy. So that after this life I will have the perfect blessedness, such as no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no human heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally.
Right, thank you. Kaylee, what good does it do you, however, to believe all of this?
In Christ I am right with God and an heir to everlasting life.
Thank you. Morgan, it is by faith that we share in Christ and all his blessings. Where then does that faith come from?
The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through the use of the Holy Sacraments.
Right, and the question I'll put in here, what are the sacraments? Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and might put his seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. So Hunter, back to you. Does the outward washing with water itself wash away sins?
No, only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us of all sins.
Mason, where does Christ promise to nourish and refresh believers with his body and blood as surely as they eat this broken bread and drink this cup?
In the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Good, thank you. Megan, who are to come to the Lord's table?
Those who are displeased with themselves because of their sins, but nevertheless trust that their sins are pardoned, and that their continuing weakness is covered through the suffering and death of Christ. Also those who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and lead a better life. Hypocrites and those who are unrepentant, however, eat and drink judgment on themselves.
Thank you. Jaden, can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent ways?
By no means. The scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, drunken, slanderer, or the like will inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, thank you. Kaylee, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion?
Two things, the dying away of the old self and the coming to life of the new.
Morgan, what is the dying away of the old self?
Is to be generally sorry for sin and to hate it more and more and to run away from it.
Right. A question I'll read. What goes with that? What is the coming to life of the new self? It is the wholehearted joy in God through Christ and a delight to do every kind of good as God wants us to do. So we come to the Ten Commandments now. Hunter, what does the Lord say in his law?
The first commandment, "I'm the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me."
Right.
The second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, on heaven, above, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God."
Okay. The third commandment, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for he will hold no one guiltless who misuses his name."
Fourth commandment, "Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. On 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath, and to the Lord you shall do no work."
The fifth commandment, "Honor your father and mother so you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you."
The sixth commandment, "Thou shalt not murder." The seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery."
Right. The eighth commandment, "You shall not steal." The ninth commandment, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor."
The tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor."
Right. Mason, how are these commandments divided?
Into two tables. The first has four commandments, teaching us what our relationship to God should be. The second has six commandments, teaching us what we owe our neighbor.
Right. And Megan, what did God command us to pray for?
Everything you need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ himself taught us.
Right. Together, what is this prayer? The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And Jaden, the last question says, what does the little word amen express?
Amen means that it is sure to be. It is that I even more desire what I pray for, and that even more that God is listening.
to my prayer.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Very good, all of you. Thank you. God bless you. Give him a hand. And so, my dear friends in Christ, these young adults have studied the Word of God, the Heidelberg Catechism, and have been instructed in the Christian faith. They are now ready to present themselves for service to Jesus Christ using the gifts that the Holy Spirit bestows. So now I have six questions. I do questions for them that, parents, you will know that these questions are very similar to the vows, promises you made before God when they were baptized. And as those questions go, that you will bring them to the point where they can affirm their baptism, and that is this day. So take your microphones again, please. So together, do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you believe in God our Father, who calls us into a relationship with himself and with one another? If so, answer, I do.
I do. I do.
The third question I'll ask them each individually. I tell our high school students too, that the number one most important decision that we will make in this life is receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior, because that determines where we spend eternity. So, Kaylee, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and do you pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Thank you. Morgan, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and do you pledge your allegiance to his kingdom?
I do believe Christ is our Lord and Savior.
Thank you. Hunter, same question for you.
I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Mason.
I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Megan.
I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
And Jaden.
I do believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Okay, fourth, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, who seeks to bring us in closer harmony with the will of God, and the one who is the one who indwells us as believers? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as it is found in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, always to remain a faithful member of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord's table, to love and serve God in the world, bearing witness to the risen Lord? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. If you want to take those bulletins, there's that prayer there. And the congregation, if you want to have a bulletin ready too after this, then there'll be a prayer that we will pray together. Upper right hand there of the bulletin. See it there? Okay, let's pray. O God,
my God, known to me in Jesus Christ, I am not my own, but yours. I give myself to you as your own, to love and serve you faithfully all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me a new creation in Jesus Christ.
Amen. The congregation, would you join me in the prayer right below that? Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has made salvation a free gift of grace to all who will believe, empower by your Spirit these young adults to continue to grow and develop their daily walk with you. Give to them the gift of power to love others, have joy in serving you, seek peace above dissension, show patience in suffering. Help them to display kindness toward all people, goodness in evil times, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. This time, David Herbolt. David is the chairman of our consistory, and he has a welcome. Of course, Hunter and Kaylee are becoming members here. 2 weeks, the other four will become members at Freedom's Reformed Church.
In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the Salem Reformed Church, I extend a hand of Christian love and welcome you into the company of this congregation. We also have for our two confirmants from our school, or from our church, I should say, Bibles that we hope you will use in your walk with the Lord. Another thing is, for all the confirmants, this is just a stepping stone for you into your life with the Lord, and we pray that you will continue to walk with him and use what you've learned here today. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our pattern at our church here is we have communion for the confirmants and their parents. I know at Freedom's it's the whole congregation. So as we come to that point here, I'll have each one come down separately, and I'll call the parents to come up forward at that time. And in just a moment, the other elders from our church, once I come down, you can come. We also, from Freedom's, have Tim Melhoff, right? He is the chairman of their consistory. I know there might be a couple of the parents who as well on the consistory, but Tim will come down too at that time as I have our elders come. So I'm going to pray over the communion elements at this time. As you heard in the faith statements, for probably all of these, this is their first time to take communion. So it's a very important time in their lives. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. This is one of the sacraments, Jesus, that you instituted. Even on the night in which you were betrayed, you gave your very life so that we could enjoy this sacrament forever, as long as we're on this earth. I thank you for these elements, this bread representing your body, this wine, these cups of wine representing the blood that you shed on the cross for our sins. Let these elements be set apart and sacred for this time and this purpose as we honor you during these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so if you want to bring the trays. Kaylee, if you want to come down, and Ronnie and Krista and the elders, you can come. So you can stand right here in the middle, Kaylee, and face me. You can stand behind her. Yeah. As the elders are coming, I'll stand up one here first. One of the things we do, of course, you've heard their favorite verse, and as we go through the year, as I pray for them individually on my own, I always ask God for a verse for them. And so that I'm going to give each one of them as well. That will be in your cards so you have it to remember both verses, the one you chose, the one I gave you. So Kaylee, yours is from Zephaniah, that little book of the prophet of Zephaniah at the end of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 17. It says this: "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save." You know that song? There's a song that comes from that verse, "Mighty to Save." You'll have to learn it. "He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And he's put that song in your heart as you love to sing for him. Your dad was telling me yesterday how you love to sing in the shower. Goes through the whole house. Sorry to embarrass you. And it was beautiful. It really was very beautiful. Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for Kaylee. Such a beautiful young lady, and such a joy as she presents herself to you, her life to you, to live for you all the days of her life. I pray the blood of Jesus Christ over her family, Thank you for living big through her all of her days. In Jesus' name, amen. And now they'll serve you communion. The bread first you can take. This is the body representing the body of Christ broken for you. You can go ahead and take that together. Then we come with the wine, the blood of Christ shed for you. You can take the cup together. Thank you. Shall they just take that back to their seats with them?
Yeah,
that'd be fine. Okay. Just take that back to your pew. You can sit down. Yeah. And Morgan, you can come down, please. And Mark and Jen. I probably won't. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Morgan. I don't really have a story on you. I guess I didn't quiz your parents. This is from the New Living Translation. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Morgan was always so diligent and intent of having her papers so very neat, done at the work they had every week. And that's part of what came to me. They all did very well as far as that goes. But always be enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Morgan, for the kind and tender, gentle heart that you placed within her. Lord, as she has been diligent to serve you, I pray that will continue on all the days of her life, that she will work diligently in whatever church she is as she gets into her adult years. Thank you for filling her with the Holy Spirit of God to overflowing. Let her be a light for you. Thank you for her parents and her family, for blessing them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you can take communion, the bread representing the body of Christ broken for you. Go ahead and take the bread together. Yeah. The wine representing the blood of Christ shed for you, for your salvation, that washes you and cleanses you and makes you white as snow. You can take the cup together. Thank you. You can be seated. Hunter, please. Billy, Jennifer. Oh, sorry. Billy and Jennifer. Hunter, Psalm 27, verse 1. This whole chapter is an amazing psalm. But verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" You know what the answer is? Nobody. That's the answer. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nobody. So you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I know you will, and that God will do great things through you by his Spirit. All right? You learned that verse too, just like the one you chose. Okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this young man. It's a joy to know him, a joy to have him in confirmation these years and a part of this local church. And I thank you for being the strength of his life, not just physically, but also spiritually, that he would be strong in you and in the power of your might, and he would shine brightly for you as he enters into high school. Lord, that all would know that he loves you and serves you, and is your child. Thank you for filling him with your Spirit, for blessing this family, Billy and Jennifer and Hannah, and watching over them and keeping them in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. We need help here. The bread representing the body of Christ broken for you. Can take that together. And the wine representing the blood of Christ shed for you. And you can take that together. Thank you. God bless you. You can be seated. Mason and Megan, you come down together, please. And Mark and Carrie. Okay, Mason, first of all, Psalms 18, verse 28 and 29 says, Lord, you have brought light to my life. My God, you light up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. Now, this guy is quicker than a rabbit, I'm telling you what. That's why I thought of this verse. One translation, by my God, I can leap over a wall. When one game we played, it was always try to get Mason out. That was the goal. Megan, Colossians 3, 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do. She's a young lady that is playing varsity ball already in middle school. So whatever you do, whatever God has for you, you do it in his name and to honor him. Okay? I'll set this down. I thank you, Father, for these two twins, Megan and Mason. Lord, fill them with your spirit to overflowing. I thank you for guarding and guiding and keeping them, for letting their love for you grow stronger each and every day. Father, for the gifts you've put within them, within each of these six, Lord, that they will bloom and blossom and grow and be evident for all to see that it is you living within them. I thank you, Lord, for giving your angels charge over this family, to guard and guide and keep them in all of their ways. In Jesus' name, amen. The bread representing the body of Christ broken for you. You can take the bread together. The wine representing the blood of Christ shed for you. A little sticky. Go ahead and take it. Thank you. God bless you. You can go back to your seats. And Jaden, not last, but certainly not least. Wayne and Lisa, if you'd come, please, too. Psalm 43. Verses 3 and 4. Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain. That's God's presence, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. His joy is your strength. As he lives within you. Jaden, so many times, not always, but many times in class with questions, she'd have the answer. The other kids from Freedons were like, how'd you know that? She'd be like, I don't know. How did I know that? His joy is your strength. Lord God, thank you for Jaden. Thank you for filling her with your joy as we've read this verse. And we find that in your presence, at your altar, before your throne, Lord. Joy that is a fruit of the Spirit that we so desperately need in these days. I thank you for the gifts you've placed within her, Lord. that you will lead and guide her and let her use those gifts for you boldly, without fear, all the days of her life. I thank you for this family as well and ask your hand of protection upon them. Let your presence be big in their lives and in their homes each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. The bread representing the body of Christ broken for you. Can take that together. The wine representing the blood of Christ shed for you. And you can take that together. God bless you, and you may be seated. Thank you, elders, for being up here and helping. Normally they'd be laying hands on too, but just doing things different, right? We all know that, so thank you. I'm going to have one more prayer here, guys, okay? So let's bow our heads, please. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness that you have shown towards these young adults today. And Lord, I pray that this affirmation of their beliefs would be only the beginning of a great faith journey for each one of them here this morning. Help them, Lord, to live for you and not for themselves. Keep them steady and filled with hope, never giving up and pressing toward the goal of life everlasting with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So to you, 6th, 8th graders, God bless you and congratulations. It's been a joy having you. I know I get Hunter and Kaylee in high school Sunday school, and when Tripp Delmont plays Menno, we'll see you. God bless you. We'll sing our closing hymn. Number 602, is it? Let's stand. Yeah. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand together, please. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. No one go with me still. No none go with me, I still will follow. No none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, turning back. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you, and may he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Now, before you're seated, we, ever since we've come into this pandemic, we have been closing with God Bless America, and we're going to keep doing this as a prayer for our nation that we so desperately need. So please join us. Side. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. The congregation may be seated. The sixth confirmants, you can follow me out. If you want to give them a hand wave, whatever, in the social hall, we'll be out there, okay? Okay.